And now, the Phil Henry Show with Phil Henry. West of the Rockies, dial 1-800-449-8686. East of the Rockies, dial 1-800-449-8686. First-time callers, dial 1-800-449-8686. And the wildcard line is 1-800-449-8686. And now, here's Phil Henry.
In a moment, we'll talk with you about the sort of the semi-annual tradition that I have of reviewing drivers nationally, locally. How are we driving our cars? And if good driving is a reflection of, I really don't know what good driving is, but let's say good driving is a reflection of adhering to the laws, then there ain't anybody in this country that knows how to drive. And it ain't, I know, it's not anything's going to change. I get that. But we're just going to do our semi-annual review of exactly how brain dead some people are behind the wheel of the car. We're also going to talk with Michael Moore. Coming up in just a few minutes, the so-called documentary filmmaker. I say so-called because documentaries are supposed to reflect accurately life as it is. And Moore, by his own admission, fudges, as we say, with the truth a little bit. In other words, he might make a statement, and it could be within, say, 5 or 6 light years of what actually happened. But the closest thing we can call Michael Moore is a doc, other than the fact that he is an obvious carbohydrate addict, an obvious addict to anything that is flaky, sugary, and comes in kind of a round pastry. The closest thing we can call Michael Moore is a documentary filmmaker and a fat slob. Documentary filmmaker, fat slob, and all-around working-class hero, Michael Moore, in just a few minutes here on The Phil Henry Show. But first, this update. Michael Jackson has been indicted on charges of child molestation. You know, I'm coming maybe about 180 degrees on this thing, this Michael Jackson situation. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just the people he surrounds himself with. Maybe, as the man once said, the fruit doesn't fall very far from the tree. Michael Jackson, a guy who I went to bat for last summer and in the early fall, saying that it is entirely predictable that people would want to indict this guy for anything short of, I don't know, serial murder, because he looks like the man on the moon. He looks like something out of a 1959 science fiction movie. This guy looks like he ought to have a space helmet on. He's weird. However, that's no reason to say a man is innocent or is guilty of anything, although I suppose it's no reason to say he's innocent of anything. But I was really right there at the forefront saying I think Michael Jackson is getting, if you will, railroaded. He's getting the caboose shoved right up there, man. Not just railroaded, he's getting the whole train right up there on this one. Even if he'd given it to somebody else. Well, if he had given it to somebody else, I guess he's guilty. But some of the degenerates that this man surrounds himself with, some of the most aberrant individuals, most recently news now that there's some people who apparently the police are looking at for threatening witnesses in this situation. We've seen his performance standing on top of a van with his umbrella, and we've certainly heard from his brother, who is almost as intergalactic as Michael is. This guy, Jermaine Jackson, just because you call yourself Muhammad, don't mean suddenly you've got a grip on life, man. It doesn't mean you got any less of a grip on that thing you've been gripping. It doesn't mean you've loosened your grip on that, and now you got a real good farm, a firm grip on the farm. Jermaine, man, you and everybody else that ever converted to any religion. See, what happens when people convert to a religion? Oh, well, now all of a sudden they're an expert. I'm a Muslim, and my name's Rashid, so here's how it am. Well, guess what? I don't necessarily think it's so. Now, that guy's opened his big fat yap. On top of everything else, Michael himself behaves very strangely for a guy that's trying to battle these charges of child molestation. Now I'm looking up at the screen, and I see 86,000 people standing there hoping to get a glimpse of that freak's kisser. And who are you people? What if this guy's guilty? It's like that whole thing with Kobe. In other words, the guy could be guilty of raping a woman. Ah, what's that between friends? We still love you, Kobe, right? And Michael Jackson could be a child molester. What's that between friends? I don't care if he lives on my street. He might, you know, he might be a child molester, but hey, he is Michael Jackson after all. Man, the addiction to celebrity in this country is at an all-time high. I can only hope that it goes in my favor someday. If I'm ever busted for anything aberrant, if I get into a bar fight, beat somebody over the head with a crowbar, commit multiple rapes, multiple homicides, I sure hope somebody's going to come up there on, you know, on Judgment Day. Yeah, maybe one or two people stand outside and say, well, he was pretty funny on the radio, so I don't care if he moves in next door to me. What is it with these, and you look at them, and they're some of the most thick-looking dullards you've ever seen in your life. These people stand around with, we love you, Michael, regardless. Michael's innocent. Oh, yeah? How do we know? I'm just kind of guessing he is, only based upon what has been this sort of virulent attack on the guy for the longest time, because he looks like a Martian. And it ain't no reason to hate a guy because he looks like he comes from the planet Mars. However, when his brother starts jumping in and saying everything is kind of racially motivated and the fact that the cat is... What is this thing with race? Did you hear this thing about American Idol last night? They voted the three black guys off, so all of a sudden it's a big race thing? All of a sudden they're a bunch of racists. Didn't they put that fat donut eater, that black guy last year? Wasn't he the winner, that Rubens stutterer? And all of a sudden, this show's now a racist show? It was a big news flash to Ryan Seacrest and the rest of the guys that run the show over there that maybe they ought to have a few more white boys win it. It may be racist, but it's only racist for ratings. That's not racist. That's just, you know, it's answering the needs of the audience. Keep that in mind, you guys, when you're looking at American Idol, and even if they are manipulating the vote in favor of the white guy, they're only doing it because that seems to be the moneymaker. It's not that they hate black people, it's just that they like green people, as in, you know, rich people. They want to be green, man. They don't want to be black, brown, pink, or orange. They want to be green. So that's why if you see them, vote a white guy off, vote on a black guy, and it's like year three of this show, isn't it, or year two? Haven't you figured out yet that the voting's rigged on that show? Have you not yet figured out that they only vote for the individuals that the network believes will be, you know, the biggest draw? And I'm saying this about a network that I at present am, completing an animated pilot for. It's not saying anything bad about them. They just know which side of the bread the butter's on, baby. They got to make a dollar the same as everybody else. Let me put it to you another way. Just so you know that it's very equal in terms of its application. My wife, Maria, is white. Even though her last name is Sanchez, she's white. I mean, people named Sanchez are technically white. Am I right about that or not? Plus, my wife's a blonde with green eyes, but she's a Sanchez. Now then, years ago, she obtained an opportunity to interview O.J. Simpson. O.J. Simpson was going to do an interview with my wife, Maria, but he had some provisos, one of which was he did not want the interview to be used on the primary talk radio station that she worked at the time. He had a big problem. It was a local Los Angeles talk station. He didn't want to be on that station at all. He thought they were a pack of sheet-wearing racists. He just thought they were a bunch of the pointy-headedest bunch of Klansmen he ever saw in his life. Didn't want nothing to do with it. Now, the company that owned that station also had an FM black music station. When I say black, it was what we call in the business urban contemporary or urban or what they used to call rhythm and blues. Or let's just say it is a black radio station. It is oriented toward the black listening audience. All right. She said, how about if we air the interview on that station? He says, yes, okay, that's good. I will accept that. Now, she goes to the black program director and the black general manager of that station. She says, I've obtained an opportunity to interview O.J. Simpson. He does not want to be on the talk station, the so-called, you know, let's face it, all talk stations are white stations. They're white. You want white radio at its best? It's talk radio. That's as white as, man, you don't get more bleached out than that. I don't care if they got the black conservative host. These black conservatives, man, they're like freaks. You know what they really are? Circus freaks. Hey, we got a dwarf conservative. We got a gay conservative. We have a female conservative. Hey, wait a minute. What are we? A black conservative. We got a black conservative. Now, if we can just get a one-legged conservative, how about a one-legged dwarf black conservative? Anything that's conservative, as long as it's not a white guy, because we got plenty of them. So let's get like a Hispanic / Puerto Rican conservative who's, you know, was a thalidomide baby. So they got fins. Anyway, the black program director and black general manager of the station looked my wife in the eye when she said, I have the opportunity to bring O.J. Simpson to your airwaves. And they said, frankly, Maria, we don't believe you can address the needs of our community. That is corporate speak for you're white. We will not have a white person interviewing O.J. What if we get one of our black journalists? No, he didn't want to do it. Now, maybe it's because O.J.'s got a thing for white chicks with blonde hair. Probably, because my wife could pass on a, you know, squint your eyes a little bit. She could pass for Nicole Brown. My wife's beautiful. She's blonde. She got the green eyes. She got the look. I mean, there's nothing against O.J., although I could care less what he thinks. But the fact is, I mean, he's the kind of chick that he probably goes for. So when she went to these cats and said, no, Mr. Simpson only wants me to do the interview, they said, well, then we're not going to do it. Now, dig that. They passed up in 1994. Well, it was right after he got out, actually. So what is it, 95? But the trial, I believe, the civil trial was still going on, and it was still very hot, is what I'm saying. Extremely hot. I think he was out. I think he was out on bail. In 1994, this station passed up the opportunity to have O.J. Simpson on their airwaves doing an interview. Now, you remember, he didn't do any interviews until years later, and I think the first he did was on Black Entertainment Television. This black radio station passed up the opportunity to have O.J. on the air because a white chick was going to do the interview. Just so you know, I ain't calling them racists. For all I know, they're married to black women or white women. For all I know, those guys, they give of themselves to the United Negro College Fund. To the United, it's this nothing's more tragic than a wasted mind fund. They just know where the money is. Do you understand? They know where the money is. So if Fox says we ain't going to have a black guy win this thing this year, we got to have a couple of white boys in there because we got to, you know, we're looking at a little slippage here in our lower demographics. Whatever their problem is, man, that's the way it is. That's business. Now, is that right or is it wrong? Well, it's wrong, Mr. Henry. Okay, fine. Then I got a big fat suggestion for you. Don't watch their show. Oh, well, I probably just overstepped my bounds there, didn't I? What the hell? I'm going to suggest don't watch American Idol? It's like I might as well ask them to go take a nice hot bath and open up a nice big vein. But that's the way it is in these here United States. Now, coming up on our show, speaking of, never mind. Clara Bingham, who is a middle school teacher and who believes that restraining children, duct taping their mouths shut, is the best way to discipline them, will be on our show. And also Justin McElroy, a high school senior at Canyon College. He saw the Princess Diana death photos, and they were pretty neat. Coming up, 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
We are just minutes away from our exclusive interview with Michael Moore, the documentarian, I don't know how to say it. He makes movies with, you know, like people who ain't actors. Or so he tells us. Michael Moore, and he'll be with us, and we're going to talk to him about his new film, Fahrenheit 9/11, The Temperature at Which Freedom Burns. Michael Moore, who's suffering a lot these days in this here garrison state called America, this gulag called America, this South Africa that is masquerading as a free country, this latter-day Nazi Germany, this early millennium fascist state America, Michael Moore, who is just fighting a good fight for you guys while he shoves another crueler into his kisser. All right, now, let's talk a little bit here about driving. As I said, this is a speech that I have to give. I only say this because it really needs to be said. I spend a lot of time in traffic, and it's either I talk about this with you guys, or I'm going to kill someone, and it's going to be slow, and it's going to be violent, and it's going to put me in jail, and I don't want to do that. Not now. I've got everything to live for. Today, for instance, I chased a guy down. I got into some road rage today. I chased a guy down who was doing 70 up a street where kids are going to school, where my kids are driving to school, basically just a regular street. At a quarter to eight in the morning, this guy's doing, I say 70, I'm telling you, he blew by me. I was doing 45. That's the speed limit. And this guy blew my doors off. I chased this guy all the way up to the intersection. And I got in, you know, I got into his face, and fortunately, he wasn't anyone who was packing any serious hunting equipment, and so I made it out of there with my rear end intact. However, driving is an art, and driving is something misunderstood by most Americans. As I said, if we judge good drivers by how many of us adhere to the law, there's no one that drives well in America at all, no one. But I can actually tell you, because I've lived all over this country and I've seen all kinds of driving, and I myself am a very, very good driver. How can I prove that? I have absolutely no moving violations on my record. None. Go ahead, check it. All of my friends in law enforcement. I'm a good driver. I use my turn signals. I adhere to the speed limit as far as it goes, but I keep up with the, what do they call it? Oh, yeah, the flow of traffic. Now, one of the things that's misunderstood about California, everybody thinks bad drivers are out here. I'm going to break some news to you. I got to break it slow because it's going to come as a shock. But believe me, trust me when I tell you this, I've driven everywhere. The best drivers in America are Californians. The only thing that they do that I think confuses people is that they drive very fast. Well, that's not good driving. Maybe it isn't. However, if you know how it goes in these here United States, you know that not everybody, you know, hardly anybody adheres to the law. Anyway, what we do in California is we drive really fast. But it is all very uniform. The fast lane is generally where the faster cars are, the number two lane where the second slowest cars, and on down. Everybody here uses a turn signal. I know, I've seen it. I've lived all over the country. Where do they not use turn signals, for instance? Where haven't they figured out what that thing is on the steering column? What those little blinky lights are? Miami's a great example. They wouldn't know what that little light blinking to the right. What is that? Oh, that's to tell people, well, I need to do that. Yeah, it'd be a nice thing if you wanted to, but I suppose not. They don't use a turn signal in Miami because they don't know what one is. Even if they knew what one was, they wouldn't consider it necessary. Also, they got no concept of to what fast traffic, slow traffic to the right, etc. means. Atlanta, they drive too bloody slow. And they also drive at interval different speeds in the wrong lanes. So in, for instance, the number one lane in Atlanta, you'll see a guy doing 30, and in the very slowest lane, a guy's doing 165. And they think that Californians drive lousy. Let's move on now to the Midwest, Minneapolis, Chicago. Forget it. Here's a lane change in Chicago. Just a real 90-degree sharp turn. Oh, there's my street. Forget it. Washington, D.C., New York. New York doesn't even count. Cab drivers in New York, they know they suck, but by God, they'll get you there and get to the next fare within the next nanosecond, or they will be bleeding from the palms. And I go down, you know, driving in Manhattan, you go between, 44th and 43rd Street, and the guy can get there from one block to the next in like a second and a half. You just hold on, Jack. So I say all of this to say what? Well, this is the time of year when I'm seeing all of those out-of-state plates. That's right. That's right. I see Montana. Saw Wisconsin today. I saw Arkansas, and I saw Washington. And I got to tell you something. Just get out of the way, please, before something bad happens. Just get out of the way. And you cats up in Oregon, you got some pair on you not wanting California plates, because I see those Oregon plates all over the place. Believe me, they're treated better down here, those Oregon plates, than the California ones are up there. But all bets are off come summertime. Get out of the way, please. All right, Michael Moore is coming up on The Phil Henry Show, an exclusive interview with the controversial Michael Moore, with the guy who made that big-time Oscar speech. Remember him? You don't? Well, anyway, it's coming up on The Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. You need a checkup from the neck up.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
We're very pleased to have on our airwaves this hour Michael Moore, the documentarian. And by the way, our phone lines are open at 1-800-449-8686 if you want to speak with Michael Moore, who has been controversial in his time. Back in 1989, 1990, 1991, he did the film Roger and Me, and since then has certainly been involved in a great many controversial projects, most recently Bowling for Columbine. He also made a wrote a book, I should say, called Dumb White Man or something like that. Michael, what was the name of that? It was like Dumb White Man or Stupid White Man?
It was Stupid White Man, yeah.
And then you made, you also wrote a book called Dude, Where's My Country?
That is correct, yeah.
Michael, the question I've got for you is you outsource your web design and your web server to Canada, even though you talk a lot about American workers.
Right.
And you talk an awful lot about how you want to protect American jobs. Why is it for a guy like you who believes in saving American jobs, do you give your web design business and your computer server business to Canada?
Well, it's a good question, Phil, but the answer, it's a simple answer. Business is business. I talk about protecting American jobs because I obviously need to keep a patriotic, although anti-Bush, a patriotic face on my work. And I want to position myself as even more patriotic and more concerned for the American people than any conservative. And so I pitched that, and so far I've been successful in having people buy it. But you make a good point. I in the actual day-to-day practice of my business, no, I give my business to Canadians. I give it to the Chinese. I buy Chinese products. I buy Chinese sneakers. I buy Chinese stereo equipment. I do not drive any kind of an energy-saving car. In fact, I drive an enormous luxury car. I drive a Jaguar, a 12-cylinder Jaguar, which burns more fuel than you could possibly want. You'd vomit at the amount of fuel. It burns more fuel than I eat, which is the joke that we've got around the office.
Speaking about the office, why is the story just so persistent that you are abusive to your employees? We're speaking with Michael Moore, the documentary filmmaker, his most recent success, Bowling for Columbine, his most recent book, Dude, Where's My Country? So you have this appearance of being one who cares about people, but the rumor, the story persists that you're abusive with your own employees and that you're cheap.
It's true, but again, you have to understand that that's information that is not really supposed to... That is not information that's really supposed to be shared with the public. I am abusive with my employees. I am notoriously cheap with my employees. I also have some very suspect habits when it comes to women. I harass them. I am certainly an individual who... And I have to harass them, and the reason for that is, take a look at me. Okay?
Why does that necessitate harassing?
Well, when you are a... when you are... such a large, wart-ridden bag of donut oil like I am, you still can get it into your head that you're attractive to women because you're famous, as I am. And so I will sit there in my office smelling of vegetable oil and French fry fat with my, you know, my pores leaking oil and the baseball cap pulled down over my face, and I can actually kid myself into thinking I'm attractive to the women in my office. Naturally, I'm not, and so when they resist my advances, I maybe give their ass a squeeze or something like that, and frankly, they hate it, but I'm not disillusioned by it.
Well, that's just it. I mean, wouldn't a guy, a normally intelligent man, say to himself, well, geez, this isn't working, maybe what I ought to do is take a bath? I mean...
Well, it doesn't occur to me because I'm so self-absorbed. I'm so completely in love with myself, and I'm almost like a screaming queen when it comes to the fact that Khan has selected my film, Fahrenheit 9/11, the temperature at which freedom burns, for showing at the Cannes Film Festival. So I'm absorbed in all of my life and all of the things that I like to do, and I'm not really interested in how other people feel. So I can easily sexually harass women in my office, or even, for that matter, I could easily, assume that everyone thinks I'm attractive when I'm not, or assume, for instance, that people don't know that I send my web business, for instance, out of the country, or buy most of my clothes from slave labor in China, Malaysia, and Burma.
Well, you really punched that Burma thing.
Well, that's a really disgusting hole. Can you imagine me, Mr. Working Class Hero, and I come out and I admit that I actually buy my baseball caps from some factory that employs 4-year-old dysentery victims who that works them from 6 a.m. till about 8 p.m. and then they go home and sip polluted toilet water, and that's what they get for nutrition, and they come in and work again. I mean, it's disgusting, but their baseball caps kick ass. So that's
All right. Let me ask you something, Michael. As I talk to you, my stomach is getting even more nauseous than it does when I talk about you. Why do you think people think you're funny? Because I don't think you're funny.
Yeah, that's correct.
Why do you think people think you're funny?
Well, I don't think people really think I am funny. If you look at the actual box office for my films, it's miserable. They say that Bowling for Columbine was a big hit. Well, for a documentary, it made a lot of money, but my movies don't make money. My movies lose money because they're not really all that funny. However, why is there the perception that I'm funny is because I fulfill the propaganda needs of certain people that agree to distribute my films.
So the political needs of individuals that will distribute your films say, well, look, this guy's a liberal.
He's not a very funny liberal, but people perceive him to be, and so.
And then you got the Oscar because?
Because the same jackasses are voting for the Oscar, okay.
What about that Oscar? Let's be very clear. When you got up to get your Oscar, and you brought all those other documentary filmmakers up there, they didn't know what you were going to say, right?
No, they had no idea.
Well, how did you get them up there?
I lied to them and said that, hey, come on, let's go up and talk about documentary filmmaking. We're all in this together. And so I lied through my teeth to them so that I could use them for my own political purposes. I made the speech, and then I waddled off stage, and they hoisted me into my limousine. I think Steve Martin made the joke that it was sweet. The Teamsters loaded me into the trunk, but in point of fact, they lifted me with a cherry picker, which gave me one hell of a wedge. I mean, it pulled the underwear right up the crack, but they dropped me through the sunroof, and that was one that I wanted to clarify.
Michael Moore is my guest here on the Phil Henry Show. Michael, the documentary filmmaker, our number 1-800-449-8686. Why are you so disgustingly fat, and what is it with that uniform you wear, man? What is it with that hat?
Well, I don't have any personal discipline. My uniform, that you call it, is to throw the American people. They actually believe maybe that I make gas jockey wages and sleep in my car, because that's certainly the effect that I'm trying to have. I want people to believe that I'm just like them, when in point of fact, I'm certainly not. I have much more money than they do. And as far as why I'm fat, like I said, I have no personal discipline. The only thing I really know how to do is to get one of my assistants to roll me out of bed in the morning, and then I get three people to help me stand up. And then I'm able to get into the shower. Now, understand, Phil, after I take the shower, it's only seconds before the oil, the polluted oil from my fat system, starts seeping through my pores again. So, really, I need about 10 showers a day, but I only take one. And the stink, people are going to have to put up with.
That's the price of fame?
That is the price of working for a famous man. So then I get into the jeans. The jeans that I wear, by the way, I've got 19 pair that were tailored for me by Tommy Versace, or Johnny Versace, I think is his name. But whoever got his brains blown out all over the street there in South Beach, he tailored those for me just before he got shot. So thank you, Jesus, for small favors. Otherwise, I'd be out. And then my hats, of course, I told you, I get them from Burma. So all of it, and I've got 20 of those hats, and they all say the same thing, United Farm Workers, UAW, some bullcrap like that.
Are you really from Michigan?
Come again?
Are you really from Flint, Michigan, the city with all the unemployed auto workers that, you know, you made that Roger and Me?
No, I'm not.
Where are you from?
I'm from San Marino, California, which is...
Slightly more upper crust?
A little bit, you know.
All right, are your movies about the working class in this country not getting a break, or are they really just about how... in other words, are your movies about the working class having a hard time, or are your movies really just about how cool you are?
Well, they're just about how cool I am. That's all. They're not... No, I just want everybody to see me as just kind of really funny and sarcastic and stuff, but I suck. Jesus. Oh, God.
So you drive a Jaguar, huh?
Yeah. Well, I drive a Jag, I got a Mercedes, I got a Lexus, I got a Harley, because I saw Jay Leno, and I figure that's the image, too, so. Crap like that. Did I get any phone calls?
No, you did not. No, we couldn't con anybody into thinking you were really Michael Moore, so I guess we can let the audience know now who you really are. Could you please tell us, this wasn't Michael Moore, ladies and gentlemen.
No, not at all.
Who are you really, please?
I'm Daryl Hannah, Phil. And
you're the film actress?
Yes, I am.
All right. Daryl Hannah, ladies and gentlemen, as Michael Moore.
And I really love your show. I just want to say that.
Thank you very much, Daryl. I mean, it's Daryl.
It's Daryl, yeah. It's a guy's name, but it's Daryl.
All right, Daryl Hannah as Michael Moore, but she wasn't lying. Michael Moore probably could use about 10, 15 showers a day, because when you're that size, the body weight alone pushes the donut oil out of your pores, so that by, oh, I'd say 8:30, after you take an 8 o'clock shower, you smell like a garbage dump. Thank you so much, Daryl, for having a little bit of fun with us. 1-800-449-8686. Coming up, we're going to have Justin McElroy on how he thought those death pictures of Princess Diana that were on CBS last night were really neat. And we also have Clara Bingham, middle school teacher, on why duct taping children to their desks is the only answer to the discipline problem we have in our schools. It's coming up on The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Get a piece of fat and slide off. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Okay, here's one that if Bush had said it, they'd be all over him like white on rice, man. They'd be all over him like white on rice. I was going to say something about a football, but, you know, it's, you can't, you know, these times, the times are changing. Anyway, Kerry said in 1972, it's a tragic day in the lives of everybody when abortion is looked on as an alternative to birth control or as an alternative to having a child. I think that's wrong. It should be the very last thing, if it has to be anything, and I say that not just because I'm opposed to abortion, but because I think that's common sense. I think the question of abortion is one that should be left for the states to decide. That, of course, is the old rallying cry of the states' rights, we don't want no blacks living next door to us place kind of thing, you know? So that was John Kerry in 1972. Today, of course, he is pro-choice. Well, Phil, it's not really fair to start talking about what a guy said and did in 1972. No, unless we're, of course, talking about his military record, then everybody wants to bring that up and trot that out, huh? So he was the warrior then, and he's the warrior now, but maybe that abortion thing's changed a little bit. Not a problem. Not a problem, because I'm the one guy that'll tell you people are allowed to change their minds. I'm not even going to bring up the fact that I'm giving John Kerry the opportunity to do something that nobody who's against the man would ever allow George Bush to do, which is to change his mind. Kerry gets to do it every 3 seconds. Well, a guy's got a right to change his opinion. Abortion's a very explosive thing. Yeah, I guess he does. He has the right to change his opinion. He has the right to change his opinion. John Kerry does. Nobody else does. You get freaking flayed alive, man, if you're anybody else and you change your opinion. So, you know what? I'm going to say it again. I'm a Democrat. I don't like what's happening with these individuals who call themselves Democrats and can't even be freaking fair about anything, man. They can't even be intellectually honest about anything. It's all about I hate George Bush. That's why our party is in the toilet. But you know what? We'll probably win in November. Get enough people thinking that there's a climate of fear that's unnecessary in this country. We'll probably win in November. But you better get this one and get it good, baby. I laid down the law to some of my very deep personal friends over there at King of the Hill yesterday. I said, hey, Kerry gets in, ain't nothing gonna change. We ain't leaving Iraq anytime soon. Now, if you want Vietnam, everybody thinks it's Vietnam now? You wait till Kerry gets in, baby. It will be Vietnam. Vietnam was caused by a political structure that didn't have the guts to go in and actually do the job or get out. One of the two. They wanted to fight the war in Vietnam with one hand tied around their scrotilia. Now, you couldn't do that, all right? Can't do that? Then pull everybody the hell out of there. No, what they did is they did something kind of in the middle, what they call a police action. It's, you can't bomb that half of the bridge because it's over in an area of a protected sort of political sphere of influence. It's the kind of crap that soldiers hate. That's exactly the kind of war that Kerry's going to have those guys fighting over there. You want to see guys die? That cat's going to get more. He's going to get more American soldiers killed than you could possibly imagine. with his let's trust the UN and let's kind of have a power sharing, and that isn't really our district, so we can't go over there and do anything there, but we'll do something over here. You watch him de-ball the American fighting man. It's going to happen, because that's what these guys that don't have the balls to say, I really do like the fact that we're in Iraq. He doesn't have the guts to say that, and you know that he does. You know that Kerry loves the fact we're in Iraq. Oh, you don't know that? Kerry loves it. He wishes he would have thought of it. But he can't come out and say it, because that's Bush's territory. Bush staked that territory out. So what's the next thing he can do? He can't say, let's get out, because he knows it's going to make him look like the world's biggest pussy in the eyes of the American people one's ever seen. So what does he do? He says this instead. He says, I like that we're there, but we're doing it wrong. All right, how would you like us to do it? Any way that Bush doesn't do it. Okay, well, you mean the wrong way then? Yes. Any way that Bush doesn't do it, well, I guess that means getting even more guys killed, is that it? Well, if that's what it takes, but by God, I'm John Kerry, and I'm not doing what Bush wants to do. That's why I ain't voting for this guy, man. That's why this Democrat ain't voting for him. Why should I? Who says I'm supposed to? Really, I love it when people call up and say, how can you be a Democrat? You know what, man? Get your head out of the little box. Start thinking with a little bit of vision. Start getting yourself away from... And these people that call in with these kinds of calls or these emails that we get, where they say, you know, this whole government sucks. Well, what are you doing about it? Nothing. Why don't you take your ass and all of your white trash kids and your 15th generation indentured servant family and get out of here? Now you do everybody a big favor, okay? Like the guy that called me yesterday and says, he went against the UN. Well, you think the UN is something we should... Well, not always. Oh, just when you think we should, but not when Bush does. So he don't even dig the UN. Kerry wishes that he thought of us going into Iraq. He wants us there, but he wants us there in a way that he can put his own personal stamp on it. And that's the kind of thing that's going to get a whole lot of guys dead. While John Kerry fumfers around looking for his personal vision in Iraq, he's going to get tons and tons of guys killed. Sharing with the UN, trying to get the interim Iraqi government to assume power sooner, not later. Trying to get this, maybe, an Arab force in there. He'll do anything that he can that, A, George Bush has never done, and, B, is going to put his personal stamp on it and make him look like the big Vietnam warrior that he wants everybody to think that he is. And in the meantime, there's going to be a whole lot of guys that are going to get dead because of John Bloody Kerry. Thank you and good night. By the way, Kerry, I know you want to think you look like Kennedy. You look like some kind of a sideshow freak as far as I'm concerned. But hey, enjoy all that ketchup money, dude. You and more, man. I don't know. What are you guys like? Laurel and Hardy? 1-800-449-8686. The Death of Talk Radio. It's the best of the Phil Henry Show 2003 CD. Available on our website, www.philhenryshow.com, or by calling 877-616-7445. All the proceeds go to my friend's place, the Resource Center for Homeless and Runaway Kids in Hollywood, California. Coming up, Clara Bingham.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Let's talk to Clara Bingham, who is a middle school teacher and also the assistant principal at Joyful Union Congregation Middle School in Bellflower, California. The California school superintendent is considering a program of restraining children, as opposed to corporal punishment or just not doing anything. Restraining them, that is, would be to tie them to their desks. And if this program is successful in California, it could be adopted nationally by the start of the 2005 semester. Tell me the genesis of this, Miss Bingham.
Well, Phil, I've always tried to look for alternative solutions to problems. And when Alterna Watson, who was our middle school principal, had told me that there had been complaints about my slapping the students for disciplinary reasons, I wanted to explore that.
Not to interrupt, but wasn't the school was threatened with a lawsuit when you had slapped a couple of students?
There was a threat, yes.
And did it materialize?
No, the lawsuit never materialized.
Why is that?
I think, really, Phil, if you were to ask me, those parents that wanted to sue the school and wanted to sue me personally, and I know both of the parents, their daughter was in my class, I think they know that I am a long-time teacher of children, that I know how to handle children, and that if they mounted a lawsuit against me, whether or not they were right, that they had better pray extra hard to the great Lord that led Moses to the promised land if they think they're going to challenge me and come out of it without a taste of blood in their mouth. So they were sadly mistaken.
So no lawsuit was mounted after you slapped these students. However, your assistant principal came to you looking for alternatives.
Our principal, Alterna Watson, did. Yeah. No, they did not dare sue me. I have been teaching for 35 years. I have taught at the elementary, middle school, and high school levels, in addition to being an administrator, and no one tells me how to handle my children.
So you discussed the solution to the discipline problem with Ms. Watson. What were you able to come up with?
Well, I had spent the better part of my teaching career administering corporal punishment, and when we recognized that parents were not approving of this, Ms. Watson asked for ideas, and I told her that restraining troublesome children or discipline problems and so forth was a viable idea.
And that would entail restraint by tying the child up?
That is, by tying the child to a desk or tying the child to a window or door frame, restraining the child so they get a very strong message that they are not to act up or act out in my classroom. As a result of that success, as you indicated earlier, we have had our middle school and other surrounding schools recommended to California School Superintendent Jack O'Donnell, who's considering for K through 6 programs as well as 6 through 8 programs. And again, as you indicated, Phil, if successful, it could be adopted nationally in time for the fall semester 2005.
All right, now this is a policy restraining or tying up kids to their desks, and it also provides for the possibility of placing a gag in the child's mouth.
That is correct, yes.
Why the gag?
Phil, we have found increasingly that once you restrain the child, they are compelled to continue the conversation, as we like to say. So it was simply a natural next step.
All right, now people across America who may see their schools adopt this in the next year and a half, what would you say to them as to this? It's a very unorthodox policy of restraining, tying a child with twine to his desk and gagging him.
I would say, Phil, and I think parents could understand it, I would say that since 9/11, we no longer have the luxury of the psychological approach to discipline problems in school. Since our boys are fighting and dying in Iraq, the least we can do is try and exert some real control over our children. It's the very least we can do as American soldiers spill their blood in Iraq, and that means a very heavy hand with discipline. And if the parents are unwilling, then by Jesus Christ in his heaven, the schools will be. Because I will tell you, I have taught school for 35 years, and I know how to handle my children. And the threat of a lawsuit does not deter me from trying to exert some control in our schools. Right now, in California schools, public and private schools, we have a discipline problem that is spiraling out of control. And the same is true nationally, although the average nationally is a little bit lower. And I will tell you by Jesus Christ and all of his angels that I will not allow that to occur in our schools.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking to Clara Bingham. She is a middle school teacher, a former administrator, talking to her about... And did you see the story today about the teacher in Missouri?
I did see the teacher, I believe it was Darren Dahenbaugh, and... apparently, he used some kind of duct tape to tie the child up. I think you have to be very careful if you are in one of these school districts that are litigious, where you have a lot of litigious parents who don't understand how a teacher has to exert control over their classroom. And when you find these parents who are trying to, what I say, insert themselves into the classroom, it is naturally cause for some anger on the part of the teacher. But I am very good at talking to my parents and saying to them, by God, you will not interfere in my classroom. And by Jesus Christ and all of his angels in heaven, and the God that led Moses across the desert and away from Pharaoh, if I feel like tying a child up, gagging that child, or whatever I have to do to exert control in a classroom setting, then I will do that.
All right. We'll get back to the lawsuit here, Ms. Bingham, because I think it's significant. You slapped a few students, and you then were intimidating to the parents when they threatened this lawsuit against the school district by simply saying to them, you cannot meddle in my... I don't think as many teachers, I suppose, would have success with that kind of... with that kind of approach. It's not what I would call a friendly or hand-in-hand approach with parents.
Well, I think it is very, very much working hand-in-hand with a parent. But teachers do have to draw the line, and I counsel younger teachers all the time. When you have a parent who comes to you and says, I do not want you slapping my child, you say to them very firmly that this is the way I conduct my classroom. Now, you will most of the time get them replying, well, I will go to the school district or I might file a lawsuit. And if that's the case, of course, you have to have alternative methods. But I look at all of my young teachers and I look them in the eye and I say, Moses led the Hebrews out of the land of the Pharaoh and into the promised land. And the God that helped Moses bring freedom to his people is the very same God that is going to allow you to keep discipline in your classroom. And by the name of Joseph, the Virgin Mary, and the baby Jesus, born on Christmas Day, so help me, sweet Christ, I will tie up a child, gag that child, and I'll put that child in a closet if I have to, if that means maintaining control in my classroom. The education of a child is the most important thing in their life, and we must keep these children in school. We must give these children a chance in this world, and that is what I'm doing, everything I can to educate the young child.
All right, the idea of binding, gagging, and you're talking about gagging. You have mentioned baling twine in the past. You've mentioned regular twine. You have mentioned...
There is twine that is used in paper drives. They tie stacks of newspaper with, which is advisable. It's used in some school districts. There is baling wire that is used in some school districts. Teachers have had to improvise using belts, using straps from purses, using shoelaces. I keep a roll of electrical tape.
And when you bind the children, can we describe, are you tying them to the desk?
You are tying them to their desk. You are tying them to a door. Yes.
And gagging them?
Gagging them, yes. And that usually is with some kind of a rag. You can use a ball gag, which is... generally keeps a child from disrupting the class. Extension cords are handy. Now, all of this sounds rather medieval.
I'm going to say it sounds medieval, binding a child with an extension cord.
Well, this is only because if a teacher had to improvise. But if this is allowed in our schools...
And what do you mean a ball gag?
This is a standard gag that has a leather strap. It has a round ball. It is placed in the mouth. And this allows for the child to get air so that the breathing passage is not constricted, but he is not able to utter any words. Generally, with a standard gag, you can articulate a word.
All right, well, in the fall of 2005, because of the discipline problems in our schools, we may be seeing teachers binding and gagging kids as opposed to smacking them or just expelling them. Clara Bingham is a middle school teacher. You don't mince words, do you?
Well, Phil, I try to.
I mean, you're talking about by the name of Jesus, you are going to...
Well, I believe very much in God Almighty, and I know that He guides my every day. And I love to say to my parents, you can certainly talk with me about your child, but I will say to you, by the God that gave light to the day and darkness to the night, and the God that told Adam and Eve to leave the Garden of Eden, by that God, if you think you are going to come into my classroom and tell me I can't ball gag a child or do anything else to administer discipline in my classroom, by God, we will have a fight that will leave you tasting blood in your mouth.
Those are pretty strong words.
They are very strong words, but that's how I feel.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686 is the number here on the Phil Henry Show. Clara Bingham, middle school teacher, on the possibility, if it's successful in the state of California, that there will be a legalized binding and gagging of children in classrooms for discipline who are discipline problems by the fall of 2005. 1-800-449-8686, the Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686, God's favorite radio show.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Clara Bingham joins us. She is a middle school teacher who is at the forefront of a movement to have some kind of a legalized corporal punishment where students are bound and gagged in classrooms who are discipline problems. Now, in the news today, a middle school teacher was arrested and charged with false imprisonment after allegedly duct taping two seventh graders together to their desks and taping one student's mouth shut. So that was in Maine. It's not legal. And you know, proposing to make it legal is going to get, at least from what I'm hearing, an awful lot of parents very, very upset that you're manhandling their kids, right?
Mr. Henry, we have tried it here in Joffre Union School District. It is, again, as I said, being proposed in the state of California. The middle school teacher you're talking about is in a state where they, corporal punishment is not legal. But understand that corporal punishment is legal in 40 of the 52 states.
What do you mean by corporal punishment?
I mean that it is legal to apply physical punishment as a disciplinary measure. Now, short of striking the child, which is my preferred method of corporal punishment, I believe a slap to a child's face is the most effective way to have him unlearn many of the things he's learned at home and have him get his mind straight for the classroom. But barring that, binding and gagging at a point in the disciplinary process where the child feels some real fear and even claustrophobia is a great way of getting all of the things he's learned at home and all of his sloppy ways out of his mind and back into his classwork.
All right, but Maine is one of those states where it's illegal.
That is my understanding, yes.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. To get a kid unlearning those sloppy things he learned at home and get him thinking about school, bind the kid and gag him. Rose, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Clara Bingham.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm a little concerned because I actually work with a lot of students who have issues, and their behavior issues, and they're usually the students that are discipline issues either in the classroom, you know, in their sense of the office. My concern is that a lot of these students are behavior issues because they've been victims of some sort of violence, either at the hand, you know, either they've been physically abused or they have at some point in time witnessed domestic violence.
Yeah, you know, that is very unfortunate, but we don't have time. Since 9/11, we have an awful lot of soldiers that are dying in Iraq, and to start to luxuriate in providing some kind of Dr. Laura solution to the problem, I don't think is the answer. The answer is to give a child a good, strong slap across his smart mouth, where he learned all of that smart talk was at home.
Okay.
But you just said, Ms. Bingham, that you were threatened with a lawsuit.
That is right, and barring that is to ball gag the child, tie the child to the desk, and he can just shut the hole under his nose for the rest of the day.
So what I'm hearing then is that a child who already has issues with behavior because of the type of physical abuse that they've gone through or the type of things they've witnessed, you feel that it's okay for you to go ahead and continue to add to that trauma.
That's a good point.
Let me tell Rose where she's wrong. The child that is physically abused at home is physically abused for the enjoyment of the adults there. We are not abusing children. What we are doing is we are smacking the smart talk out of their mouth that they learn from those individuals at home, father, aunt, uncle, I don't know. So we are doing it with an eye toward guiding that child. A lot of them are white.
But
a lot of them learn a lot of smart talk from a lot of these white people who have engaged in drug trafficking and this kind of thing.
But I think that you're generalizing with that, and my issue
my experience has been most of the discipline problems we have, and understand we have a mixed-race district, but most of them are these smart-mouthed white kids that they've got an uncle or an aunt living at home along with their mother and father. There's questionable drug trafficking going on and this kind of thing.
Most of them are white.
Okay,
in our district, yes, we're mixed race.
This is my thing. How is a child who's been a victim
of... And there's enjoyment for the teacher, too, to be able to get the tension of dealing with this child to release a little bit of that with a good, strong, swift slap right across their smart mouth.
Okay, but I'm really taking issue with this, because how is a child supposed to differentiate between a good hit or a bad hit? I mean,
well, because
if this
they
child
know
has
the
been
trash.
Possessed,
well, they know that they know all. They know the mountain trash they live with at home, and they know the teacher. They know Ms. Bingham wants them to do well. That's the difference.
All right, Rose. Thank you. Thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. The difference between corporal punishment in school and corporal punishment at home. In school, they know the teacher means well. At home, and I just heard you describe them as mountain trash.
Well, a lot, like I said, a lot of them are from these poor families, poor white families. A lot of them are these chicken-stealing gutter trash. And they are smacked around because the adults get their kicks doing that. They come to my school. They behave themselves. But if they don't, I will knock the taste clean out of their mouth. And they'll know it's for their own good.
All right, Clara Bingham with us. Here's Elma on the Phil Henry Show. Elma, go ahead.
Yes, I don't know what school and what district you belong to, but I'm an Alley Unified in the state of California.
You're in Los Angeles Unified, did you say?
Yes, I am.
I'm a private school teacher.
I have two students in a junior middle school, and I deal with my children day in and day out. No, I'm not a gutter trash. I am very well educated. Now, if something was happening to you, your life would be in my hands to save you, even though I am gutter trash. Why? Because I'm in the medical profession.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm talking about being a teacher.
Ma'am, listen to me.
Having to deal with a lot of the mountain trash.
Yes. Ignorance goes a long way, and it shows me your education. The ignorance does go a long way.
Why are you so angry? You're threatening me with
violence. I'm going to tell you this. Children belong to the parents. Who do you think you are? You're not their legal guardian.
Children do not belong to anyone. They are free souls.
That is not your children.
And I can tell you by the God that led Moses and the Hebrews out of the Pharisees' land that I will smack the smart talk out of that gutter trash.
If you're trying to quote the Bible, remember, God punishes people, please, and God does not like ugly. God does not like
ignorant. I don't know what this woman's angry about.
Well, hold on, Elma. I want to ask you, why are you so angry? You're yelling at her. She's talking about trying to exert...
This is what I have to deal with my children, Alley Unified.
All right, hold the line. 1-800-449-8686. God led Moses out of Egypt, and he will allow Clara to smack the smart talk right out of that gutter trash's mouth. She believes in disciplining with a ball gag and binding. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
Talking with Clara Bingham, a middle school teacher, former administrator, the state of California. It is not legal to administer corporal punishment here, correct, Ms. Bingham?
That is correct. But
all right, I just wanted to get that out of the way because we're talking with you about you were sued, or they didn't sue you.
No, they did not. That's what I want to clarify. The parents did not sue me because I told them that their children, their daughter, who had acted up in my classroom, and I smacked that mountain trash's mouth so hard that I don't think she is ever going to talk straight out of her mouth again. And I told them, if you want to sue me, that's fine. I'm a teacher 35 years. I know my children, and I love my children. And I know what's best for them. And I know she learned that smart mouth in your home.
This is how you're talking to the parents.
Yes, I am. I said, if you want to sue me, that's fine. But the same God that freed Joan of Arc as she'd been burned at the stake and lifted her up to heaven, that's the same God that is going to help me hold my sword high if you try to, and I used the dirty word, I said, if you try to F with me.
You're talking about God and using the F word.
Well, you know, Mr. Henry, it's about the children. The children need to be disciplined now. We cannot pamper them like we have done through the 80s and 90s. It's a new world. Our soldiers are dying in Iraq for some gutter trash that wants a mouth off to me. No can do. It's not going to happen.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. All right, Alma, you got all the time you need. Go ahead.
Okay. Miss Bingham,
yes.
This is my point, okay?
Yes, certainly.
Teachers nowadays are only getting educated between 1 and 2 years, have no parenting skills whatsoever, none whatsoever. They're being given these children to educate them. Now, all districts, especially LA Unified, they will pass the child by the grade, by the year, not by the grade. You fail too bad, they will not house them. Now, you're educated, you know what a housing means.
I can't understand. Do you have an accent of some kind? Because I didn't get what she said.
No, honey, I'm American. What are you?
I speak perfect English.
Well,
you should have learned some elocution as a child because you are talking like that. You talk like you're Chinese, and I can't...
Wait, just a minute, all right? Maybe the lady doesn't have your education. I can understand her.
Well, she said something about teachers going through 2 years of school, and I lost her after that.
Yeah, you lost me.
She said that teachers are not trained to administer this kind of discipline. You, 35 years as a teacher, maybe... You know, do you have children of your own, Ms. Bingham?
No, I do not. I'm unmarried, and I've always been unmarried. And that doesn't make me a lesbian, as I'm sure it's gone through this woman's mind. Hasn't it? It has, didn't it? You know,
no,
that's
not.
The kind,
you know,
that's the kind of egg-sucking gutter trash that I got to deal with. And
let's not call people names. Look, we had a five-minute news break to cool off. Go ahead, Alma.
You know what? I'm beyond that. How can I tell you? I don't sit there and judge anybody by the voice. Yes, you pissed me off. That's why I called you. But yes, I don't call nobody gutter trash because gutter trash is in you. No matter how much you try to take it out, it's in you. But what I'm talking about is a child's education.
And you are not Chinese.
Excuse me?
You do not have any Asian blood because I'm very good with accents. Are any of your parents?
No, I'm full American.
I'm saying, did any of your people come out of China?
No.
All right.
None whatsoever.
I can understand you almost.
But if you wanna know where I came from, I'm full blood American. I'm also half Spaniard, half French, half Indian, and all American.
Okay, right there. I tell my children, you cannot say what you mean if you don't know what you mean. All right.
I know what I mean.
You just said,
I am American.
All right. You just said, I'm full blood America. That's what you said.
All right, okay.
Give me your turn now. Let me give you mine.
Yeah,
okay?
Yes, absolutely. Go ahead.
I have four of my children.
You said, I'm full blood America.
Excuse me. I have four children. Each child is different. Each child is treated different, completely. I don't care what you say. You don't say that and talk about all teachers completely, because there is some good teachers out there, and there's some that are full of crap.
I'm one of them. I'm one of the good teachers.
Do not quote the Bible.
You should drop to your knees and thank the God that led Moses out of Egypt, but I'm there.
If you don't know jack of what you're saying, because apparently the Bible that you're reading is from the devil. Okay?
You just said the word Bible. You said Bible.
It's not a Christian Bible.
That is not what I call
it. It's not a Christian Bible.
All right, let's just comment back.
I want to say something, Phil. I saw the wonderful Bob Hope, and I don't know if you know Bob Hope. I saw his special. He had on a lady. Her name was Carmen Miranda. She's a wonderful dancer and singer. Well, you know something, Emily? You sound just like her. Because you did not say Bible. You said Bible.
Bible.
Yeah.
Bible.
Well, you said, I talk America, and I like a Bible.
You know, because you speak in Ebonics, so maybe I'll be speaking your language.
Oh, so now we're getting racial.
Yes, apparently education doesn't help you. Perfect pronunciation doesn't help you. So let me speak Ebonics. Maybe that'll help you. Because ignorance goes a long way, and baby,
By the sword that Jesus raises above his head.
I am even funny. I'm trying to speak to an educated woman.
I would smack the egg sucking right out of your mouth if you were standing
really?
Right in front of me. Yes,
well,
I would.
Well, you need to come to Alley Unified.
Right. There's
Gary,
a whole
Junior
lot of,
High, and we'll meet up.
Maybe they may. Thank you very much. There's a whole lot of violent talk going on here, and we're talking about the tuition of our children. That's what disturbs me.
Mr. Henry, I listened to that woman. And I tried to point out to her that her elocution was not. She said, I talk about the America and everything like that. And she said, I read the Bible, B-I-B-O-E, Bible. Now, that may be a laundry detergent. That could be Bible, could be some kind of a elbow grease. But that's not the good book of the good Lord. Now,
all right, hold on. Let me take another call here. 1-800-449-8686. Joy, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Clara Bingham from Joyful Union Congregation Middle School.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
First, I'd like to say that I do hope that she will let me speak and not try to interrupt
me. I will ensure that happens for you, Joy.
Okay. When I first called your show, I seriously, and my husband's in the back of this vehicle laughing, I seriously thought that this was a joke.
Let me ask Ms. Bingham, because I find a lot of the suggestions she's making tonight to be preposterous.
Well, if you think the education of our children is a joke and the violent spiral that is continuing in our middle schools and high schools is a joke, and the teachers that are attacked is a joke, and the children who are trying to get an education that are attacked by violent children is a joke.
Ms. Bingham.
No, if you think that's all funny, then I'm here to entertain you.
No, I'm sorry, Ms. Bingham, if that's your name, Ms. Bingham, I'm sorry, but
you're very judgmental.
You are a very judgmental woman to not be God himself, I must say that. And your understanding of God and my understanding of God are definitely two different things.
That very well is, ma'am. I can tell you, I have been teaching 35 years. Excuse me, I don't care. You know, that's a sin.
That's a sin that a woman like you has been allowed to teach in the United States of America for 35 years. I would like to know the school system that would allow a woman to do the things that you have done when a parent can't even do those things to a child without being arrested.
A lot of the gutter trash that sends their children to high school.
That we have paid you to abuse our children when there are parents being arrested, when there are parents being put in jail for abusing their own children.
Absolutely.
We are paying you to do it.
All right, what is your response to that, Ms. Bingham?
Phil, I understand this woman's anger. It should be directed at the gutter trash that puts these children in our schools.
God, you know what? It is up to God. God is the final judge, ma'am. If you're talking God, He is the judge. You are a very judgmental woman.
Joy, please. God speaks through me. And let me know.
No, I'm sorry. And I hope that anybody that is listening to this conversation right now hears me say this. Excuse me, I wish I could put one on you every time you've put one on a child. If I ever found a teacher treating my children that way, they would soon find out what it feels like to have one in their mouth, to be humiliated in front of the students, to be treated that way in a teacher's classroom.
You know, Joe, I bet you would enjoy that. I bet you would enjoy putting a ball gag in my mouth and taking a brew handle to...
Wait a minute.
Well, hold on for a minute.
I don't want this to devolve into some kind of a disgusting display of insults, all right? We're talking about our kids.
Mr. Henry, I'm trying to say if I've got to put a ball gag in a little girl's mouth to make sure she goes to college by the hand of Jesus Christ, who guides me in everything
Jesus
that I say,
I'll shove
a ball gag in her mouth and five generations of the gutter trash she comes from.
Because I want that child to go to college.
Go ahead, Joy.
Excuse me.
Go ahead, Joy.
I'd like to say something for anybody that's listening.
I guess
what she has to say is far more important.
Go ahead, Joy.
Anybody that is listening, it is the ignorance of an individual like this that keeps people out of the churches. It's an individual with this kind of ignorance that uses God's name. Our God is a loving God, a forgiving God,
a patient God. Our God
does not do these things to children. So anybody that is listening and has any questions about a God, her opinion of God and her saying that God speaks through her is not a fact. That is her opinion and just
that. Can I get my 30 seconds?
10 seconds. We got to wrap up.
All right, Joy. If I had the opportunity, I would love to kick your butt off that soapbox so bad. I'd slap all of that smart talk out of you. If you're in my classroom, you'd know less about talking about God and more about 2 plus 2.
If there is a God, he's going to have his turn with you. I can tell you that.
And I hope he has a ball gag in his hand
when you see him, honey.
So now you say God uses a ball gag?
You keep preaching God.
You are sick.
Well, you're the one that's preaching God and talking about sticking a ball gag.
I that on my children.
You know, I bet you think God wears a leather mask, too.
I think God is a loving God, and I think you have no understanding of our God whatsoever, woman.
Excuse me, Joy, but whoever said a man that wears a leather mask doesn't have love in his heart?
You're very judgmental. You're a cruel woman. I've heard the things that you've said about people. You're trailer trash, mountain trash, whatever.
Our God wasn't like that.
Our God was an all-loving, all-accepting God.
And what do you do if you get children in your school who come from a family of chicken stealers?
If you come from a family...
You are not God.
Well, I can tell you come from a family of chicken stealing.
All right, thank you, Joy. Thanks very much.
I've never been so insulted in my life. Mr. Henry, I'm trying to...
Well, you know what? You're saying some inflammatory things by the hand of Jesus. I'd love to stick a ball gag in your mouth. What is it with you and ball gags?
Mr. Henry, there was a very wonderful film by Quentin Tarantino called Pulp Fiction. And in that film, the use of the ball gag was a thing...
Yeah, that...
It was out of sight.
Yeah.
Are you hanging up on me?
I'm not letting you go any further.
Well, you lousy...
Clara Bingham, and we're ball-gagging kids come fall of 2005, baby. That's the answer to the discipline problem in our schools. 1-800-449-8686. Should I tell that lady who we were just talking to what the show's really about? Nah. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. You can all go straight to the nether reaches. The Phil Henry Show is back.
All right, we got a little flashback action for you from yesterday's show. Sir Herb Sewell was our very, very special guest. And let's see, was he talking about what? Where is Herb Sewell? Oh, here he is. Michael Moore? Bobby Dooley? Women need to admit... Women need to admit... Say that again, Janice, so the whole audience can hear you again.
Women need to admit that they are at fault if the ex-husband doesn't want to spend time with them or want to pay any child support. This is a woman's bad judgment that's caused this, and it leads to a lot of fatherless homes.
Uh-huh.
And he's written an article called Women Blame Yourselves.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold!
It's time for women to understand that they have made huge mistakes in the way they choose their men. Are you married, ma'am?
Yes, I am.
Well, good luck.
Well, I don't have
what?
I really do, and you're not really that funny, just so you know.
Well, I can tell you I'm not trying to be funny, but if you're married to a man... What's that?
Go ahead.
I can't understand what she said. What'd she say?
What did you say, Valerie? Or Elizabeth?
She's in a truck.
Go ahead. I want to hear. If I'm married to a man, what?
Are you married to a man?
Yes, I'm married to a man.
All right, well, good luck to you. You know.
Oh.
I mean, do you have any children?
No, not yet, but...
Well, may I suggest...
I hope your kids turn out to be a better man than you have.
Well, ma'am, I can tell you this. I hope and pray that before you have children with whatever it is you're married to, that you thoroughly check out the kind of man that he is. Otherwise, you're going to wind up begging him for child support. It's going to be a disaster. Look, even when my wife told me she was pregnant, I said, Valerie, I don't care. Do you understand what that means when your wife says...
You didn't say that.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
Oh. You're so arrogant.
I'm trying to show where women have been blithering idiots when it's come to how to pick men as fathers.
Okay. did you voice your opinions before y'all got married? I mean... You didn't have to marry her.
Sure I did. I told her that I would probably make a very bad husband, but I was good in bed.
I mean, that wouldn't make me marry a man.
Well, all right. I should have met you.
Yeah, that was the whole reason.
Well, I wish I would have. Okay. I would have met you instead of Valerie. But I like women that are educated.
You and wouldn't so have gotten very far with me.
That's why you wouldn't have gotten to first base with me.
Exactly, and I wouldn't want to.
No, because...
But anyway...
Do you have any education?
Yes, I do, but anyway...
Where? I'm not talking about high school. I mean, did you get through college?
But anyway...
Does your husband do things without you? Because if he does, he probably doesn't want kids. Go back on your CB radio. I'm sure there's a... Sure, there's a good cockfight out there somewhere.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
There's Herb Sewell. He's a lousy father, and he knows it. You know, if only half you guys that don't pay child support would just say to your wife, look, I suck. I'm a lousy father, and if we ever get divorced after having kids, I'm probably not going to pay a child support. Actually, that would save a lot of people a lot of trouble. Especially if he says to you, when you say, hey, baby, I'm pregnant, and he says, yeah, so. That's maybe kind of an indicator. Also, being arrested for a DUI the night that you're giving birth to your first child, that's kind of a tip-off there. Wasn't her busted for a DUI? Yeah. That's a tip-off there. Then on your kid's first birthday, when he's out like at a demolition derby with one of the executive secretaries of the parts department that he works in, that's kind of a tip-off there. All right, 1-800-449-8686. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Coming up next, a very interesting interview with a very interesting young man named Justin McElroy, who has seen, and I don't know if you guys know this, but the Diana, Princess Diana death photographs, some very graphic photographs, were shown on television last night. And we're going to get a young high school journalism student's take on this. This is also the network, CBS, that gave you the photos and video of a terrified Daniel Pearl in captivity. But Dan rather would have you believe it's all solid journalism as Les Moonves is pulling the string on his back. 1-800-449-8686. The Death of Talk Radio, the Best of the Phil Henry Show CD, is available online or calling 877-616-7445. By the way, all the money goes to my friend's place, the Resource Center for Homeless and Runaway Kids in Hollywood. Phil Henry Show will be right back.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
One of the major networks made the decision last night to show the pictures of the death scene of Princess Diana, to show her as she was being administered to, as she was dying or perhaps, in fact, dead. This is also the network that showed us the captivity videos of Daniel Pearl. On the line with me, we could have talked to a lot of different people, professional journalists, but I wanted to get a young person's view. We have Justin McElroy. He's 17 years of age. He goes to goes to Canyon High in the San Fernando Valley. And Justin, you are 17, correct? You senior?
Yeah, sir.
And did you see the Princess Diana pictures? Can you hear me?
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Did you see the Princess Diana pictures? Where are you right now, sir?
Right now I'm just, I'm kind of, some friends over at, one of the malls. I'm over at the Galleria Mall right now.
Did you see the Princess Diana pictures?
Oh, yes, I did.
And you saw them on CBS last night?
Yes, sir, I did.
Tell me about the journalism class you take.
Yes, sir, I take a journalism class at Canyon High, and I'm also doing a summer internship for the Los Angeles Daily News.
And what did you think of these pictures that you saw on television of this woman, this very famous and beloved woman, as she lay slumped against the steering wheel?
She was still inside the car, and they were pretty amazing. I mean, it was pretty graphic. The ones I show, they did show a lot, and it's not really anything we've ever seen before, so it's pretty interesting.
Well, when you say it was amazing or interesting, did it frighten you, or did it make you sad?
Well, my mother got kind of emotional, but it didn't make me sad or anything. I thought it was pretty cool, actually, to finally be able to see it.
You thought it was cool?
Well, I mean, yeah, because this is the first time that, anybody's able to see him. Because, I mean, I'd heard about how the steering wheel, they said that the steering wheel basically went right through her body. But to see it, it was sort of fun because you don't usually see that on TV.
And, I mean, you're talking about the steering wheel going through someone's body being fun. I want to know, this is the same network that showed the video of Daniel Pearl in captivity. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did. I also saw the one where they cut his head off, and that one was probably, the most interesting one that I've seen.
Okay, this is what I'm getting to, Justin. You speak of these videos and these pictures as if they're a lot of fun to watch, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, they depict the horrible deaths and the captivity of innocent people.
Well, but I'm in a journalism class, and I like journalism, and as a, I guess, not, you know, Mr. Ackerman, who's our journalism, he's our journalism one teacher, and he says it's kind of interesting and enjoyable to see, you know, a picture that wouldn't let, they wouldn't let you see. I mean, the British kept lying about it, you know, but I'm very proud to say it was an American news organization that finally showed it, you know, showed the pictures where they show the head, you know, like her head was pretty much smashed in.
And Princess Diana's head was pretty much smashed in.
Yeah, I mean, and the other thing that was kind of interesting was, like I said, the steering wheel, I think, was like stuck, like through her body or something. Or at one point, it looked like maybe her head had, you know, gone through it or something. But I mean,
all right. Now the Daniel Pearl video that showed his decapitated head. Isn't this a horrifying reminder of the criminal mentality that we're dealing with Al Qaeda?
Well, yeah. I mean, it is, unless you're a young person or in journalism. I mean, you don't understand how interesting it is to see. I mean, it's pretty interesting to see a guy's head that's been cut off and everything. And as you know,
see, this is the, you know, does any of it shock you? This is what I'm trying to say. Did any of it shock you?
Well, I mean, it doesn't really shock me because, yes, it does. But a lot of our teachers who are really kind of liars, and our parents who are also liars. I think the lies they tell us about just stuff that's going on, like in Iraq and everything, is more worse than, like, seeing, like, Princess Diana's head smashed in or whatever. I mean, because they're all hypocrites, and I guess that's the point that I'm trying to say. That
the lies that the hypocritical parents and teachers tell are worse than any picture of Princess Diana's head smashed in.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you get right down to it, our teachers lie, our parents lie. And it's kind of relaxing. I guess you could say it's kind of relaxing to see, you know, Princess Diana's head smashed in and stuff. I mean, I know that her family...
What about her kids? What about her husband? The people who lost her?
Well, I mean, her husband didn't love... You know, he didn't even like her. I mean, you know...
What about her kids?
Well, I mean, I think if you ask the average kid, you know, if your mom was like, you know, got her head smashed in or whatever... Would it be bad? I mean, they'd be sad about it, but then you also don't have to deal with her or anything. And
I mean, all right, let me give our number out here. You're speaking as a journalist.
That's right, and I think you have to understand.
But you're using that as an excuse for a sort of a dispassionate and almost a callous view of the way these people died. But in any event...
But you're missing the point, you know, what I'm saying. I'm just saying, you know, like today was Earth Day because our teachers were talking about it. But because so many of the adults that preach to us are really just liars, we held a protest.
You know, all these teachers and parents are liars, huh?
Well, yeah, I mean, because they say it's Earth Day, let's respect the Earth, but they're in Iraq, and they're still driving big cars and everything. But so that's why we had our Earth Day protest on campus. And we just basically burned styrofoam, and we released balloons into the air and stuff like that.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Justin McElroy with us, giving us his take on the Princess Diana death photos that were on CBS last night. Relatively graphic photos, I'm understanding from you, Justin, that show Princess Diana being administered to. You say her head was smashed in?
They showed, like, you could see part of her head had been, I don't know, like the steering wheel smashed it in or something. They also had an interesting picture of some of the paparazzi were, like, still taking pictures. She's all like, you know, bloody and everything. It's like laying there, you know, and so that was interesting. And they also had a couple of pictures after they got her out. They had her like laying there. It was all, you know, like a pool of blood and everything. But like Mr. Ackerman, who's our Journalism 1 teacher, said, you know, that's kind of what journalism is. And so it was really interesting.
Let me ask you a question. You called the teachers and parents liars and hypocrites because they don't even honor Earth Day. What's the significance of releasing balloons into the air as a protest against Earth Day?
What's the significance of releasing the balloons?
Yeah.
Because release the balloons, they say, is bad because it can get into marine life and choke marine life or get into the lungs of, like, whales and stuff. And they always, you know, told us not to do it, but we did it today. And Mrs. Dofer, who's our earth sciences teacher, is the same one who told us that thinking, you know, the death pictures of Princess Diana are cool. And she said that's bad.
And Mrs. Dofer?
Yeah, Mrs. Dofer, she's our earth sciences teacher.
And she said that you guys believing that the pictures of Princess Diana dead were cool was a bad thing.
Right, and we felt that she was, I mean, we don't really like her anyway because she's pretty stupid for a teacher who's supposed to, like, know what kids like and everything. So we, you know, said, she's so stupid and she's kind of a skank, so, you know, we basically released the balloons out of the air.
I gotta tell you something, Justin. You sound like you got a lot of anger.
Well, I don't know. You know, it's...
Are you angry?
No, I'm not. I mean, I just, you know, all we're trying to do is just have fun, and I'm trying to get out of high school now and just move out as soon as I can.
And you want to go into journalism, huh?
Yeah.
Do you want to be a print reporter?
Not really. I mean, that's not really what I want to do. I want to do...
Broadcast?
Yeah, I want to do broadcast and, you know, do... basically, my idols are Aldo Rivera. I think he's done a lot of very groundbreaking things journalism-wise, and I want to probably have a career like his. And I just want to get out of high school because all we got are, like, these skanks that tell us, you know...
When you say the word skank, are you talking about your teachers?
Well, I mean...
I mean, you're talking about people that are trying to tell you looking at the death photos of Princess Diana isn't all that cool, and that, you know, releasing balloons into the air isn't good for marine life. And yet for you, these people are liars and hypocrites.
Well, they are. I mean,
because they lie about Earth Day, they lie about...
Yeah, they lie about Iraq, they lie about everything. So, but that's not why I think the pictures of Princess Diana are cool. I mean, they just look really cool. I mean, like I said, you don't really see TV show you, like, how the guy's head's busted in there. They don't show you how it's all smashed in. And me and a lot of my friends are just, you know, I guess we're tired of parents and teachers saying one thing and doing another. And me and my friends are really into the truth. And that's why.
So the Princess Diana pictures represent at least the handling of truth.
Yeah.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. I don't know if anybody else saw the death photos of Princess Diana. We have a young journalism student from Canyon High School in Los Angeles who said he saw the Princess Diana death pictures. He found them fascinating, and he didn't find them sickening or sad. He said it was interesting to see, quote, someone's head busted in on TV like they've never showed it before, end quote. He also said that the Daniel Pearl captivity video was very interesting. And I asked him, the parents that tell you that this is the wrong way to feel, how do you think about that? He said they're all hypocrites and they're liars and they don't even appreciate Earth Day. That's why they burned styrofoam and released balloons into the air today as a statement against it. To the angry young man, in my opinion, or maybe, just maybe, he's somebody who's trying, who's thirsting for a little bit of truth. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Fair and balanced without the porn. The Phil Henry Show is back.
All right, we have Justin McElroy. He is a high school journalism student. Let me explain to you, Justin, why the Princess Diana photographs are not interesting. They're tragic, okay?
Well, before you do that, I mean, if I could just jump in and say, you know, I don't really like adults telling me, you know, people who tell me, you know, hey, let me explain to you how stuff is. First of all, adults, you know, don't know as much as they say they do. And the second thing is that I'm taking journalism, so it's a whole different thing. The Princess Diana death photos were really interesting to see because, first of all, everybody talked about her like she was really great.
Yeah, they did.
And I don't know what was so great about her. I mean, I'm not really all that interested in her or her life or anything, and so... It kind of made me angry all the years that they talked. You know, my mom was always going about, oh, yeah, Princess Diana, oh, yeah, yeah, she's dead, oh, yeah. You know, it was really sad and everything. And I really hated it, you know, because my mom, you know, I just hated my mom for it. And so when they finally said, yeah, we got the death, you know, we got pictures of Princess Diana with her head smashed in and stuff, I was like, I was really looking forward to it because, you know.
Why? Because you got some hostility about her?
Yeah, I mean, I don't like her at all. I mean, you know, I don't see what's so big about her. And I think it's good to see her with her head busted in and stuff like that. And so...
So this is some statement against your parents?
No, man, no.
Well, then...
Look, just like, what I'm trying to say is, all the adults, all they ever did is talk about how Princess Diana's this, she's that, she's really great, okay? Like, and they're liars, I mean, because they don't even know who she is, they don't know what she was about, you know? I mean, I said in class, I was in Mrs. Dofer's Earth Sciences class, I said she could have been a slut too, just like, you know, Prince Charles was, and she's all getting mad at me about that. But I said, well, that's hypocritical, you know? We have a guidance counselor, his name's Mr. Decker, and he's a hypocrite. He tells us that we should, you know, when we grow up and we get married and we grow up and we make a family thing. And two of my friends saw him coming out of a gay bar, or they said their dad said that he came out of a gay bar.
All right, look, I don't want to get into whether one of your teachers is gay or not. I don't think that that's right to do.
Yeah, well, but all I'm saying is they, you know, adults lie. I mean, half of my teachers are probably gay. They won't tell us about it. Half of my parents say they love Princess Diana. They don't know why. So it was really refreshing for us to see her head, you know, busted in on the steering wheel going, that what had gone through her.
All right, this is Justin McElroy talking about Princess Diana's death photos that were on the CBS television network. You know, this is the same network that showed us Daniel Pearl.
Yeah, you said that already.
Well, don't you find that a little ghoulish that a news-gathering organization has a track record of this kind of expose?
No, I think they're great. I mean, I think CBS is the reason on account of why they're number one and stuff. They have Survivor. They also have, like, CSI. They also had, like, the Apprentice. And
no, NBC had the Apprentice.
Not that I know of.
Well, that's my understanding. Okay, so you think they're cool that they showed these death photos?
Yeah, I think they're great journalists. I mean,
all right, let me go to Roger. You're on the Phil Henry Show, Roger.
Yes, I was just going to let the young man know there is nothing cool about death pictures or anything to do with death. I'm a truck driver, and I have held a lady's head, talking to her last few minutes of her life, why the steering wheel was through her chest. And believe me, there's nothing exciting, it's one of the worst things that could ever happen to you.
What's wrong with that?
As far as that, what's wrong with it?
Yeah. I mean,
the man was talking to a woman that was dying.
I watched the lady die right in front of me.
Well, I know that.
And I mean, she was on spring break.
If you're a journalist, if you're a journalist and you're on your way to covering a news story and you see somebody's head smashed in, it's good.
Well, I wouldn't be taking a picture of that.
Well, you're supposed to.
There's nothing glorious about taking a picture of a dead person.
Well, okay, you're a truck driver. You don't know anything about it. I mean, why don't you go deliver some beer or whatever you do?
But believe me, I know all about it. I've delivered beer.
Yeah, I'll bet you have. So why don't you leave journalism to me?
Why don't you have some respect for this guy?
I'm just trying to say nothing glamorous about it. And if you're out here on the road where I am and you see people splattered and scattered on the road, there's nothing glamorous.
Do you understand what this guy's trying to say?
Well, he's saying he's a truck driver. He doesn't know the significance of Princess Diana. Okay, if you drove up and it's Princess Diana and her head's busted open on the street, you don't think that's interesting?
No, sir, I don't.
Oh, see, that's a lie, man. Because you know...
Why would you think it's a lie?
Because if Princess Diana's head was busted all open with her brains out, you'd go, this is kind of interesting because it's her, because it's Princess Diana.
Well, I think...
What do you mean it's interesting?
Diana was the most class act that London, that England ever had. And to see
whatever.
Her dying...
Whatever.
It would have...
Whatever.
Really
all right, okay, Roger, thank you. Here is Patty on the Phil Henry Show. Patty, go ahead.
Yes, young man, I consider you very ignorant on an intelligent show.
Whatever.
Because last night, not whatever, you can answer a question, and God help us if you're a journalist student.
Well, wait a second. Princess Diana.
Just listen.
When you saw her guts all out and stuff.
Let the lady finish.
It's good to hear, and you know, the wise old bird sat up in the old oak tree. The more he spoke, the less he heard.
Oh, that's really interesting.
The less he heard, the more he spoke.
Oh, okay, thanks, Grandma.
So be careful. Yes, I'm proud to be a grandma. The young doctor, in case you watched TV last night, said that examined the princess. There was nothing wrong with her face. Nothing had been disturbed on her face. So
I didn't say her face. I said her head was the back of her head was all busted open and stuff.
You are inaccurate, and God
help
us if you're a journalist.
Then you didn't even
see
it.
young man.
You know what? You were watching West Wing.
You know what?
You were watching West Wing.
It's easy for you to use words, but you can't confuse the general public. They're knowledgeable.
Well, let me ask you, Patty. This is Phil Henry. I didn't see this. Now, he's saying that her head was busted open.
No, it wasn't.
Well, no, you said her face. See, she's lying. She's lying.
Phil Henry, according to
the face
of the head... You know,
I hate old people because they lie worse than anybody.
Will you please have some respect, man?
Our country if
go ahead.
Are educated
go ahead, Patty. Tell me.
I hate her so much.
Phil,
go ahead.
The doctor who examined her, the French man on TV last night, said that nothing had been hurt to her face or her head.
Was there a steering wheel coming out of her chest?
Yes. Yes,
that
there was.
They did not show that. They did it with
good
grace. And well,
oh my God!
You know, it's easy for you to yell and scream.
Yeah, but you're just like the grandmothers. No wonder people kill grandmothers and stuff.
What is that supposed to mean?
People who scream are 99% wrong. So don't scream. Don't get excited. You've got a long life ahead of you.
I'm
going to
really calm down. I really want to calm down and say, you know what? You shouldn't lie because you're pretty close to death, and God will put you in hell.
Honey. You don't scare me a bit. I've had a wonderful life, and I feel sorry
for
the American generation of you. Phil, thank you for your good show.
You know something? You went out and made a sandwich when the pictures came out, just trying to get attention.
You're the wrong one to think you can talk.
All right, Patty, thank you. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. This young man thinks the death photos of Princess Diana were interesting.
Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I'm talking with Justin McElroy. He's a journalism student at Canyon High School. He saw the Princess Diana photos on television last night. He thought they looked neat and they were interesting. And really, it's because you never liked her, so you don't care whether she suffered a horrible death, do you?
You know, I really didn't say that. I mean, I just said it was interesting to see her head busted open or anything. I mean, because that old lady that you just talked to is a liar, and she's like a lot of my teachers who lie. They showed everything, and, you know, it's like the steering wheel and everything.
You also said that you believe adults to be such hypocrites that you went out and protested Earth Day today by burning styrofoam and letting balloons loose in the air that gets out into the marine life, right?
Well, I did, yeah. And two of my friends and me, too, which I'm... don't want to say who they are, but...
Well, you don't have to tell me who they are.
But, I mean, it was our way of saying, I mean, these adults are such liars, so, yeah, I wanted to see the Princess Diana pictures. Also, today, we poured Drano and Janitor and a drum into some storm drains, and we also went out on my friend's dad's boat and threw those plastic six-pack things in, because they say dolphins, you know, they get on their noses or whatever, and the tuna that chokes on them and everything.
So you just went out and tried to kill some wildlife today, man. You went out and tried to just dirty up the freaking world a little bit because you're bugged that Earth Day sucks and the adults are a bunch of liars. So you dig Princess Diana and...
I mean, listen to what you're doing, man. And
you know what? I'm trying to talk through a little bit of anger here.
You know, all you're doing is like stuttering and embarrassing everybody that's ever had a radio talk show. My God, you know,
I'm trying to say that you went out and tried to destroy the world today because the adults are hypocrites, because Princess Diana sucks, so you think her death pictures are cool and killing dolphins is cool.
I didn't say it was cool. I just said they made us do it because they're liars.
Oh, they made you do it because they're liars. Okay.
I mean, look, Mr. Henry, you can be, you know, like a typical adult and lie and be a thief and a liar. Or you can understand what I'm trying to say. Me and my friends have been monitoring our parents, like, for 3 months. We take notes every time they lie. I mean, we're taking these notes to a lawyer to see if we have a case against, like, our teachers because they're such lying bastards.
Okay, watch your language, man.
Hey, watch your language, man. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. Here is Cisco. Go ahead, Cisco. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
This guy, Okay, you say you're a journalism student, right? And you're studying journalism, and you think
You know, what am I studying?
Showing pictures of brains all over the place is journalism? No, I'm sorry. Journalism is reporting on an event.
How do you know?
How do I know? Because I'm a media student myself.
That's not journalism.
Media, marketing, journalism, video production. That's how to sell.
Yeah, that's like how to sell stuff. That's not marketing.
And how is showing brains and people's heads getting smashed in? I mean, if that's the case, then I'll go to the side of the road and film a dead squirrel and show that all over the
TV. No, I'm talking about Princess. Dude, if you think this is the same thing, a dead squirrel and Princess Diana,
journalism is reporting. It's reporting on the event and alerting the public to know what happened and the details of what happened.
You think a dead squirrel is the same as Princess Diana?
What, when, where, why, and how? And you should have already known that since you're a journalism.
Well, you know something, man. You don't know anything about it either because you're in a class that tells you how you can sell apples and stuff. Well, look.
Also the fact that you say that she deserves all of it.
Listen to what the guy's saying.
Okay, you don't like her, but yet you know nothing about her. So how can you not like someone that you know nothing about?
Because I practice guerrilla journalism, and it's not the same as mainstream journalists, which is what you probably hope you are someday. And I don't want to be anything that I can tell you just listening to you. I don't want to be anything you're going to be.
Okay, well, you didn't answer my question.
Hey, man, are you here to learn? Or are you here to tell me? Because I'd be happy to tell you. First of all, it was Princess Diana. It's not a dead squirrel. That's number one. That's a huge difference.
Okay,
maybe
well,
they should teach you that in media class.
Actually, nothing about her.
Okay, because she's like people who talk about her are liars.
So you think the whole world's lying except you?
I think our parents are liars.
Do you know anything about Princess Diana? Do you know anything about the peace work that she's done? The work across
the peace work
that's helped out.
How you spelling peace?
Children.
How you spelling peace?
Justin, you could be a smartass. Listen to the guy. Do you know about the work she did on behalf of kids injured by landmines?
Am I supposed to get really interested in this or something? I don't understand.
Well, it's like if a lady goes out and does stuff like that, why would you wish that she? Why would you?
Okay, how do I know she went out and did that? And how do I know she's not some skank? You know, it's like going around.
Oh man, you just
you don't know.
Dude,
you know nothing about her.
You don't know. How do you know she's not a skank?
You know, that's her own personal business if she is, but all I care about is the good things that she's done.
Okay, at least I thought you were like almost the same age as me. You sound just like that old lady. And that's why I hate her. Because she's going,
it's the fact that you refuse to believe that you're wrong about this subject.
Exactly. Cisco, thank you.
No, all I'm saying is, hey, I'm not hurting anybody by taking no picture. She was in that car with an Arab, okay? You know that, right? Right away, that's kind of interesting.
So she deserves to die horribly because she was in a car with an Arab.
Right now, you know, I don't really think Arabs are all that great. And also, if she's riding around with one and wanted to, like, do the bump ugly with him, later on in some suite at the Ritz, kicking it up at the Ritz in gay Paris, and I do mean gay, then that's messed up. And also, it's just messed up. That's all I'm saying.
When you say Arab, what do you mean?
I mean, when I say Arab, what do I mean?
Are you saying Arabs as in the Middle Eastern Arabs?
No, man, I'm saying Arabs as in, like, the Canadian Arabs. Jesus.
I want to know that you're not characterizing every Arab that you're talking about.
No, I'm talking about the ones that are, like, in Qaeda.
In Al-Qaeda?
Yeah.
Bob, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Bob?
Hello there.
Go ahead, sir.
How are you?
Fine.
The young man's name is Jason, is it?
No, it's Justin.
Justin, how long have you studied journalism?
6 months.
6 months?
Uh-huh.
Do you realize that in order to be a journalist, you need to be, you know, like, laid back and listen to other people's opinions to form a theory about what people may think
other than yourself? Are you a journalist?
No, I'm not a journalist.
Well, how do you know about it?
Well, it's an obvious position, in my opinion. You know, a journalist reports on the facts and the opinions of the people that surround the
circle. Exactly. That's what I did, too. That's what Mr. Dofer told us to do. He wanted us to write up a paper on it. And so I said, her brains. I thought it was interesting.
Well, who did you interview?
I interviewed my mom. I said, how do you feel? And she's all crying and everything. And then I said, it looked cool.
Yeah, but you weren't objective when you interviewed your mother.
Well, yeah. I said, how do you feel?
Your mother's an old person.
Oh, no, I just said, I think you're, what are you, sad? She goes, yeah, you know, okay, whatever. So then I wrote, okay, today I saw Princess Diana and she had a steering wheel through her neck and her head was all busted open. And here's what my mom thought. She's all sad.
And you thought that was cool because you saw somebody's head busted open, regardless of Princess Diana or anyone else. You think that looks cool?
I'm probably going to get a good grade on it.
Well,
it's probably going to help me, you know, with my final, my midterm grade.
Wait a second.
Today I saw the pictures of Princess Diana, and my mom was sad, and it looked cool.
Yeah.
What kind of a paper is that?
That's not the whole paper. You want me to read the whole thing? This guy's going to be dead before I get to the end of it anyway.
Jesus, man, you really don't have any respect, do you?
No, am I wrong? Hey, Bob, am I wrong, man?
Oh, no, you're not at all. You're not at all. He needs to learn respect. He needs to learn objectivism.
If I read my paper, you'd probably, like, die from old age before I got to the end of it, wouldn't you? Yeah, you read your paper? See, yeah, he agrees because he's not saying nothing. Hey, Bob, did you see the pictures of Princess Diana? I mean, the steering wheel was, like, through her throat. Her face was gouged out and everything.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah?
Are you going to let somebody finish their statement before you interrupt them?
Yeah, we're burning daylight, man. How about while we're still young?
I'm quite young. Don't worry about that.
No, me.
Okay. Well,
is that your
you're
name?
Only
hey, Bob,
you're hey, 6 months in journalism.
Hey, Bob, I want to know, is that your name or is that what you do?
What's that?
A real smartass.
I said, is Bob your name or what you do?
The kid's a smartass.
Let me tell you something, son. I'll tell you what I do, okay? If you were in my jurisdiction, you'd be in the back seat of the cruiser I'm sitting in right now, okay?
Wouldn't have my pants
get
down?
Get a life, son. Get a life.
You'd have my pants down.
Okay, that kid.
Hey, Bob, one of Princess Diana's arms was, like, up on the lamppost.
Bob's obviously a police officer, so I think he's seen quite a bit of the horror of life than you have.
Oh, wow, man. Real stories of the Highway Patrol will return in just a moment. See you, Officer Pooch. I'm out, man. I'm late. This sucks. You suck.
Okay, thank you. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686, Out of Bounds. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Yesterday on our show, Bobby Dooley, the president of the Western Estates Homeowners Association, was back on to talk about how she's thankful to the United States troops in Iraq because they're dying to protect her right to own a gas-guzzling SUV. Dee has a son in Iraq. Oh, yeah, Dee was our caller, and she has a son in Iraq and is appalled at Bobby's arrogance.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
My name is Dee, and my son... Can you be quiet a minute?
I'm sorry. I'm not saying anything. I'm listening to you.
Just stop the uh-huh. My son is in Tikrit, all right? Iraq.
He's up the creek. I'm joking.
I'm talking to the host.
Let the lady say what she has to say.
I made a joke.
I've heard her on the radio before.
Go ahead.
Can I speak?
Am I stopping you?
Sir?
Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead, Dee.
Thank you. My son is in Tikrit, Iraq, and he is not there, so she can drive.
Can you turn that... Hold on, Dee. Turn down the Al Jazeera, please.
They want you to turn it down, Steve.
What about your Nazis?
Go ahead, Dee. I'm sorry.
My son is in Tikrit. I don't like her speaking for America. I am America. My son is in that country... Not so she can drive an SUV. Let me finish. She's in that country to defend our freedom. I have no problem with her being financially secure.
Well, thanks to him, I've got a new DVD system in our Cadillac.
All right, let Dee finish.
I'm not saying anything.
You are interrupting.
I'm going to hang up if I can't talk.
You're interrupting the lady.
I really like your show.
Oh, are you going to hang up, Dee? Are you really going
to
hang up?
If you don't be quiet, Ms. Dooley, I'm going to put you on hold, Ms. Dooley, if you don't be quiet.
Fine.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
My son is in Tikrit. He is dead.
Turn that down, please.
Okay.
Go on,
D. He is there to protect our country. I have no problem with anyone being financially secure. That is totally another issue. I have no problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
I have no problem with what people drive.
Mm-hmm.
But I do not like someone speaking for America when I am America, and my son is not there to drive your, so you can drive your SUV. My son, who I just got pictures from today, is over there to protect our country.
Is he still
and
alive?
I think that you are an ugly American because
oh my God.
Of what you have said about why my son is in Iraq.
You know,
that's
really
all I want to say.
Of course. Then you want to run away and not hear. Yeah, she's so gutless. I hope her son doesn't share her courage. Well, you know, Dee, let me just say this.
That's a terrible thing to say.
Let me just say this. If women like Dee have their way, this is the voice of America.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
What is it about that Al Jazeera you just want to, like, strangle the guy nearest you? Hey, man, now that ain't racist. That's just like I don't dig the sound. Because that's, to me, that's the sound of unreasonableness. It's the sound of dumb. It's either that or, Mr. President, this is a fictitious war, and thank you, I'll take my Oscar, and now sit my fat ass in my limo. I think I'd rather listen to Michael Moore. Anyway, there you have Bobby, and certainly that will be available on our website. Hey, Backstage Pass, baby. It's only $6.95. It's all access to all the great audio, all the classic radio comedy we do on our show here each and every night. And we have great gifts at our souvenir shop. Newest. What's the newest? Don't we have a new thing? Well, we've got everything, man. We got the bowling shirts from Ted's of Beverly Hills, both the Ted's of Beverly Hills Honolulu shirt and the standard Ted's of Beverly Hills. We have the Jay Santos Citizens Auxiliary Police pocket watch. We have the travel mug and the baseball cap. We've got the Bobby Dooley Western Estates, who you just heard. That's right. Bobby Dooley has a spa robe. She's got a beautiful tote bag. She's got a beautiful polo shirt from the Western Estates Clubhouse. All of these items designed by Bobby and her dumb husband, Steve.
And yes. The brand new Father's Day prize coming up.
Thank you, Janice, for joining us. What's for Father's Day?
The special product we're going to be putting on for Father's Day.
Oh, yeah. We're going to put on a, it's the cooler with the radio. Oh, this thing is the bomb. This thing has got, it's got a radio and it's a cooler. I think I just kind of said it again, you know. But you got to see this, and this is great for Father's Day. Get this for Dad, and you can see him sort of stagger off toward the beach there with the big, you know, with the surf rod. And he's got his little cooler, and he's got his radio locked on to this radio station for the Phil Henry Show and all the other marvelous stuff. And then he just sits there, and you come out the next day, hasn't caught a fish, and he's just passed out dead drunk. And all you see is like the empty cardboard from a Löwenbräu pack. So that's the way it is, baby. You're going to want it. Remember those Löwenbräu commercials? Well, man, it doesn't get any better than this. Well, yeah, it does. A different beer. Löwenbräu ain't a sponsor, is it? Nah, I hardly think so. Listen, before we leave, we want to just once again reiterate our very strenuous support on this radio show for the purchase of the hybrid car. Last night we did an extensive discussion of it, but tonight I can only give you a few minutes of how heartfelt I'm serious. The hybrid, this is kind of our thing now. You know, we don't really campaign for Jack on this show. The only thing we campaign for is like an extra week off every year. But this time around, baby, we'd like you to at least look into the new hybrids that are out there, because the motto on this show is, we're getting off that Arab oil, baby. I ain't giving them my money no more in 2004. How about that? I ain't giving the Arabs my money no more in 2004. No more bread for those Arabs, man, and their oil. It's all over. Look at our guys over in Iraq. You know, we got to be over there because we got to protect the oil supply, because we got to drive around, you know, using their stuff. Well, it's done, man. We're tired of it. We ain't doing it anymore. Come this fall, as soon as the lease is up on my car, I ain't kidding you either. I'll take pictures of it. I'll give you guys rides in it. I'm either going to get that new Toyota Prius, is that what it's called, or the Honda thingamajig, the Honda hybrid. And if I can get my hands on one of them biodiesels, preferably with Daryl Hannah at the wheel, by God, I'll do that too. Because enough is bloody enough, and I would encourage you guys to look into your nearest hybrid dealer, whatever it is. I don't care what it is, man. What's Saturn doing with that EV, baby? Is that thing still out there? A lot of these hybrids, I think, are probably superior because you get, you know, what a hybrid is gasoline and electricity. But you're getting 500 miles to a tank of gas, man. You are getting 40, maybe 50 to the gallon, and you are, you know, gassing up every 2, maybe 3 weeks. You know, you're cutting your gas use in half. In half. What does that mean to your pocketbook, and what does that mean for our country? Please, think about it. Thank you, and good night. Oh, I thought we were going to hear Howard Dean there. Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.